Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin, a couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
Hello and welcome to this very special interview edition of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. I have the honor of sitting down with Mr. Steve Macklin from Impact Wrestling today. So make sure you stay tuned. The interview is right around the corner. Before you do that, though, head over, follow Steve Macklin across all your social media platforms. Also, head over to castbuy.com/ringsiderant. You have all our social media links there. You have all our platforms we're on. Our merchandise store over there at What a Maneuver is right there as well. So check that out. It's the winter. You're going to want a hoodie. So why not make it be a Ringside Rant hoodie? Shout out to Brad. Stay tuned. The interview with Impact Wrestling Steve Macklin is right up next. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome back to the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. I have the honor of welcoming Mr. Steve Macklin to the show today. Steve, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
No, thanks for having me on, RJ.
No, it's been definitely a long time coming. I've been following your stuff since you've been over there in Impact. And then a lot of your stuff outside of Impact, too. More so with your current program that you have with Gresham there. And it's between that one and your one with Trey Miguel at Hard to Kill, you are hitting the ground running, man.
Yeah, that was the plan. It's one of those things that I'm very grateful for the opportunity from Impact Wrestling too, since I've gotten there for the past almost 7 months. But it's crazy what a year difference coming up almost on a year, February 5th, when I was let go from WWE, and what a difference almost a full year makes.
Yeah, it's we got next Thursday as we are recording next Thursday's Impact. It's going to be you and John Gresham's second match together, which your first one was knockout drag out, like I said before, but since coming over to Impact, you've basically got a whole nother laundry list of opponents between, like I said, Gresham, Miguel. You have a lot of great talent there. You know, Josh Alexander's coming to my head too, that I'm sure you guys would have a great matchup there too, but just unreal. How have you really brought what you've done in the past to this, with this whole new laundry list of people that you are going to potentially be working with?
It's one of those things where everything that I've done or have done over the years has taught me a lot and helped me a lot, and get to this point now too, where I can work smarter and know certain situations, especially from my time in NXT and WWE, being on SmackDown, like just watching behind the scenes how things work or how things come together, and seeing how feuds go or how Triple H's mind would be putting things together in production. And just everything behind the scenes, and you sit back and you kind of keep quiet at those moments where I would learn a lot. And then now I'm taking those tools to use, because I sit back and do the same thing at Impact. And I did that when I first got there, to see, I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this match, see what this guy does. Who can I feud with that would be creatively good, and what styles could clash with mine and we would gel properly. And I think Trey and I had that, just a good bond in behind the scenes and in the ring, just to gel together for his high flying style, and just very innovative with a lot of things he does. And then me just being brute strength and kicking and punching. And also I can do the high flying as well. So it's just being adaptable to it. And it's a lot of tools from all over that I've been able to just take advantage of. And like I said before, just having the opportunity now to show the world on Impact and have that platform to do it and literally put my name of Steve Maclin on the map.
Yeah. You know, like you said, when you debuted 6-7 months ago, my son was actually watching with me. He's big wrestling fan like I am. He's 9 years old, like I said, before we started recording. And he's like, "Daddy, who's that?" I said, "Oh, that's Steve Maclin. Oh, I like his jacket," because you had that with the Punisher, and he's a big superhero fan. And he's like, "Oh, that's awesome." I'm like, "Oh, wait till you see this back of his tights. It's even better." He's like, "Oh, man, that's awesome." Have you, obviously, anybody that follows you knows that you're a big superhero fan. You've really, I've seen you've incorporated that Punisher character into the character now, the Captain America character into this character. Was that kind of the thought process when you got there?
Yeah, it's just latching onto those characters and personalities that you can find something that yourself has and just turn your volume up a little bit. And that's one thing I kind of, again, with being in the Performance Center and all those years of having time with Dusty Rhodes, William Regal, and Ryan Katz, and then just creative down there and having Triple H, just trying to find those things to tune in what works for you. And there are ideas I've pitched before that were shot down because it's just wasn't the time for it. And now obviously is the time for it. And that's one of those things where I just try to tap into those certain personalities where I can find a trait to and make it me as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, we got that next, your number two match with Gresham next Thursday. What have you learned from your first match with him that you're going to say, this is what I want to take into the next match with him?
Obviously, the next match we're going into, there's no pure rules. It's a straight up one-on-one competition, pro wrestling match. Obviously, the pure rules favored him in our last one. I kind of noticed that the rules have an edge towards whoever uses their rope breaks first, where you can take advantage of using your the ropes to your advantage pretty much at some point once your rope breaks are broken off. And Gresham did do that and kind of got to me a little bit the way he won. Not too happy with it, but you know what? Under pure rules, under Ring of Honor's rules, to me, yeah, it's a loss, but at the same time, it's Impact Wrestling that I'm with. So now you're in our household.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We saw a lot of that, impact, pun intended, last night. On Impact with, you know, Honor No More making their appearance felt. Taven, Vincent, Maria, PCO, and Mike Bennett there. Some of those guys you're very familiar with, obviously being from Rutherford, New Jersey, going through the Monster Factory with Danny Cage. The majority of those guys are Northeast guys. What are your thoughts with this Forbidden Door, what they're calling it, being basically knocked down now when you're having a lot of these ROH guys coming into Impact?
Again, everybody always asks the Forbidden Door. I think it's just the wrestling business right now is great. There's not just the one all be all company anymore, and there's opportunity everywhere. And when something happens, it take advantage of it in a storyline. And there's so much talent out there, but then there's so much talent out there too that makes everybody else have to elevate their game now. And that's one of the things that I take from it. And you have the ROH guys coming in. You have New Japan coming in, which is also on Access TV as well, after Impact on Thursday nights. And it's one of those things where you're seeing a crossover between everything. And you're having all these dream match scenarios or just story-driven scenarios where everybody's kind of crossing paths in this so-and-so multiverse of pro wrestling. And it's one of those just cool things, I think, for me as a just being a professional and being backstage and seeing how everybody is and how you see them on TV and you take the perception differently, but just to be able to work with some of these guys down the line, I'm looking forward to it. And then also just from a fan standpoint of pro wrestling, I think it's awesome. I think it's one of the coolest things that it does get cross-branded between all the companies and like even Mickey James going to the Royal Rumble. Like, who would have thought, you know? So it's like one of those things where it's a cool time in professional wrestling as a fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a fan or as a worker or what have you, it's because you have so many options out there. You mentioned New Japan. For those of you out there that have followed Steve on Twitter, noticed his little, I won't say cryptic, but a familiar tweet about Tongaloa last night. And I quickly saw it. I said, yes, please, because that would be a a banger of a match. Take
it however you want, if cryptic or not. T is a good friend. He was one of those guys when I got to NXT in 2014 that kind of took me under his wing, and just he kind of knew where I came from, being prior military and getting into professional wrestling. And he just was nice to me from off the bat, and I just respect him from day one. And he's one of those guys that kind of took care of me when I started off in WWE.
Yeah, first and foremost, I'm shocked, and I apologize for not noticing right off the bat, BB, and I appreciate the service that you went through. We I don't want to say completely relevant, but I sent you the picture of my grandfather's medals before, and I've always respected anybody that's served at man, woman, whatever, in the service, being part of the Marine Corps and Operation Enduring Freedom. Talk a little bit about that. You know, did that get you, you know, mindset ready for getting back? You know, you've been a football player throughout school. You went from there, you went to the military, and then to professional wrestling. A couple of years ago, I talked to another individual that went, was a service member. And then he uses professional wrestling as that coping mechanism, as that release. Is that something that you kind of, when you came back, that you, hey, let's, you know, let's try this? Or
Well, when I first got to, when I got out of the Marine Corps, it was I was going back to school at Rowan University in South Jersey, and I was trying to find a wrestling school in South Jersey as well that was close enough to my parents, so I didn't have like a long commute. And I found the Monster Factor in Paulsboro, and luckily Danny and Larry at that time was still alive and there took me in, and it was one of those things where for me it gave me that like camaraderie around guys again, like it was being like, I pretty much like I got out of the Marine Corps and then I went right into wrestling, and I came to that locker room mentality where it was the same, like in a platoon or a unit where you have that mentality. Everybody wants to work together. You're having fun. And it's just guys being guys or girls. And it's just one of those things that to me, when I got in the ring, I fell in love, and I loved wrestling as a kid, as a fan, but then I started to respect it even more once I started doing it, taking the bumps and showing up on time, being the only one sometimes that showed up to set up for shows and take the ring down. And like, and I understood why, because that's what the Marine Corps prepped me for. You got to pay your dues. You're a young guy and you're learning your way. And it's the same thing when you start in the Marine Corps, you're green and you're considered a boot at that time. It's the same in wrestling, you're green. So you're learning from the ground up, and you have to learn the foundations and obviously learn the basics. And that's one of those things that I feel the Marine Corps did help me with in life in general, but mostly in professional wrestling too, is like, it could always be worse. And I've been in worse situations. So if the worst I have to do is show up to a show and we have to take the ring down or put it back up, and I have to sit there and wait until my match or time gets cut, it's like, whatever, you just, you do it. That's really kind of it.
Yeah. It's like I said, I've talked to Invisible before, and I said, it's just absolutely, you know, it's an honor to ever talk with anybody that's any type of veteran. And I've my grandfather passed about three or four years ago, and that was one of the things where, you know, I sat down and I talked to him, and he didn't really talk about much of anything until until before he passed. And it's just, it's some of those things that are that soundboard for people. Have you, you know, a lot currently, you know, self-care, mental health awareness is huge. Have you, like I said, with that outlet as far as professional wrestling, have anybody really came to you and said, hey, this is what's happening? Any, have you stayed in touch with a lot of your core men?
Yeah. We stick together, and even Hard to Kill, I had a bunch of my buddies come out to the show. I don't know if you heard them on the live crowd through the TV, but a lot of them were pretty rowdy in one little section. And it was a bunch of my Marine Corps buddies that I served with in 2-8. And my buddy Dominic actually set it up with organization Wishes for Warriors, which pretty much is like Make-A-Wish, but for veterans. And it helps veterans come together and go on excursions like water rafting, hunting, just to get just that kind of camaraderie together. And it gets you to sit around and talk, and kind of, it's kind of like a mental thing, but it's also a physical thing at the same time, where you're getting to go out and you're around military guys, whether it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. It's just that camaraderie, and nobody understands that, like, the individual other than another Marine that stood beside you or has been through the same thing. And with mental coping that way, that's one of those outlets that helps. And it was fun to put together with them and get them to the show. And a few of them I hadn't seen in over a decade. And my one buddy, Dan, just put out an album with his band called Shanky DeVille. And I was just so happy and proud. Like, he was catching me up on his life, and just my buddy Hayborn. It was just one of those moments the night before, and then even the day of the show, to just kind of sit there and chat. And it, for them to kind of see my love for what I do, and then for them to enjoy it, for the, some of them, it was their first show ever, was really cool afterwards, because they had so many questions after, and it's just fun. And they all thought I was winning. Like, so that was that made it even funnier for them to not even know what's going on. And it made me happy that I could tell the story to them, and they realized, and they were still happy for me, even though I lost. And it's just one of those things where it just comes together. But to answer your question, I do stay in touch with a lot of my buddies. We're all through text. And even when the whole thing with Afghan this past year went through, like, I think a lot of us got even closer because of the things that were happening over there with pulling out the way that we did. And it's just one of those things that you just, it's something that's never going to be lost. And it's a time in my life that's affected me in so many ways, good and bad. And it just taught me a lot. And that's the one thing we all teach each other every day when we do talk to each other, because I can maybe be going through something and you don't know what other person's going through.
Mm. Yeah. And that was the, your picture on your Instagram there where you guys were on the ramp. Was that your group of guys there?
Yeah, they all came out. It was a good time to hang out. And it was a fulfilling moment for me to have them all out there, because I tried for years to get them to wrestling shows and just wasn't working out. And then, of course, Impact worked together with Wishes, and I was very happy that it came together.
Yeah, because I sent that to my my uncle. Is, you're never a past Marine, you're always a Marine. And I sent that to him. He was stationed in Japan. This goes back during during the first Persian Gulf. He was over there.
Okay.
And I sent him that, and he's like, "Oh, that's awesome! Just seeing the camaraderie." And whenever I've gone, he's down in Pennsylvania, so I don't see him that often down there, anyways. But he still has. It was pretty cool. One of the actual samurai swords that he brought back from Japan, and like one of the Japanese tapestries, I guess you could call it. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I always paid attention to that sort of stuff. It's how I was raised with my grandfather, just to, you know, respect that stuff. And now his son, my cousin, is in Germany currently with the U.S. Army, stationed over there. He's one of the artillery specialists or something. But yeah, it's just kind of one of those side things that I like to do, is that history. But to go from there to go to what anybody that really follows you or follows Deanna on Instagram and Twitter notices that you're a big Yellowstone fans.
Yes. I can't expect how, I don't know how anybody could not be a fan of that show. So I love that show.
Yeah, no, I got onto that. Now I'm on to, was it 1883 with Tim McGraw. And I'm like, oh, it just sucks you in. Cause you see one, you got to see them all.
And 1883 is one of those shows too. Like, I thought that Sam Elliott was going to be the guy that I was just drawn to. Like, of course, Sam Elliott's just a badass in life and on the show. But Tim McGraw stealing it with the way he's been in it. The girl that's playing his daughter, I'm like, wow. Even Faith Hill is just a kick-ass woman on the show too. So it's just, it's cool to see how they do it. And they're both entertaining. And I'm always character-driven now. After Sons of Anarchy, like, that sucked me into TV. And Yellowstone's like been that next show. And then even Mayor of Kingstown, I don't know if you've watched that yet.
Yeah. That's
like Renner. That was another good one too.
Yeah. Cause I've told a lot of people about that and on Paramount Plus, and I'm like, you want to see some messed up stuff? Watch it. It's kind of that kind of, like you said, Sons of Anarchy. That's kind of that ask between a cross between that. And do you ever see Prison Break?
No, I never got into it.
Kind of a cross between, we get that prison esque theme, plus you get that Sons of Anarchy stuff. But I saw the spinoff of that. It was a Mayans is on FX, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's another one that's like, holy crap. It's like unbelievable how people will come up, how to figure out how to write this stuff. And I'm like, unreal.
Pro wrestling.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They go to that. Mm-hmm. So like I said, anybody that follows you on Instagram also knows that you're, you know, dogs, man. You got beautiful dogs. Handsome dogs, I should say.
Yeah, and I got our two boys and our one girl. Honey's actually laying here on the floor, and so is Oliver, and then Fitzgerald is somewhere. But yeah, man, we're all about our when I'm home, it's just all about D and the dogs. We kind of let go from work, and when we're not on the road, it's just we love being home with the pups. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of life outside of wrestling.
Right. Now, are you exclusive to Impact, or can you obviously with your independent bookings, we'll get to that in a little bit, but
yeah,
are you exclusive to Impact, or are you, can you go to, let's say, for example, if you have the opportunity to go over to, you know, New Japan and do a tour over in Japan?
So I am signed with Impact Wrestling, but it is open to like work elsewhere as well. That would have to just go through Impact Wrestling. I have been in talks to try to get over to New Japan just because that's one of my goals. Obviously with COVID and all that, once that kind of opens up more over there, because we all talk in the locker room, kind of finding out everybody that's going over there and what's going on and how things are changing. And it's just kind of being a waiting game and being patient, because I'm in no rush either. I'm very happy with what I'm doing right now. And there's no overexposure too. I think that's one thing in wrestling. A lot of fans for a long time were getting that overexposure to wrestlers, and it just gets monotonous after a while, seeing the same guy over and over again. And that's the one thing I feel wrestling is kind of missing, is like those attraction guys, or not even just being perceived as an attraction. So like, oh, I want to go see, like, you have to build that match. And if you're not seeing the guy wrestle consistently or girl, I think that makes up for it in the long run.
Yeah. Cause I know friends of the show, Get the Tables, you can follow them on Twitch, but, they do, Impact watch alongs every mm-hmm. Thursday. And I've gotten with them and I said, dude, you better, when you made your debut, I said, you got to watch out for Steve Macklin, man. He is, it's like you turn the switch on and you freaking went 100 miles an hour. And we're going to see that coming up in April too. The debut of Prisoners of Society, yourself and Weston Blake.
Yep. The reunion, one night only reunion right now.
Right. Well, right now, hopefully we can see more of that. Cause that's definitely that tag team, man. It's unreal. Are you, obviously that's with Wrestling Revolver, right?
Yes.
But, what is, have you guys kind of discussed what your mentality going in? Obviously it's a few months out, but not to spoil anything, but what can the fans expect on the 16th of April?
Obviously, we're going against the Wolves of right. Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, and that's a team that I always have looked up to as a tag team. They're both, Eddie and Davey are both so damn good. And for Blake and I to have that opportunity when we've had opportunities taken from us where they were out of our hands, and we're always originally started off as Prisoners of the System, and another group started to call themselves Shock the System. So that changed the creative there when we were pitching that idea. So then we came up with Society. And that's one of those ideas that we've had in our back pocket for a long time. And it's funny that people are like, oh, doesn't it say POS though? Do they realize that? I'm like, no, we're doing it on purpose. But Blake and I have a lot of unfinished business together. And for us to just kind of do this almost a full year compared to where we both were last year, at Pro Wrestling Revolver in April, I'm very excited, especially for the opponents that we're facing. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time, whether you're watching on Fight TV or you're actually at the show with a freaking little seat every 12 inches is a new seat. So if you're sitting that little butt on some fold-out chair, it's going to be a good show.
Now, obviously we see Dave in Impact being the singles wrestler. Have you, is it a complete out of the question to go back into tag team? You basically want to do anything and everything?
No, Blake and I have had those conversations, especially even when I started with Impact, because we did talk about tagging and on the indies and trying to get out there again. But I think both of us on our singles like are trying to get ourselves out there. And for where I'm at my career, I'm doing pretty well on my own, and I took the advantage of the opportunity that was given to me. And I feel like I've hit the ground running. We talk every day. We're actually talking not too long before this call. And yeah, we're just both supportive of each other. And when the time comes, it's just one of those things where it's got to be the right time in the movie.
So like, when you go from, let's say, Impact to Wrestling Revolver for these shows or whatever other promotion that you're going to be working for in the future, you, before you get to that promotion, are you watching tape? Are you watching stuff from, like, I see the Owen Hart shirt you're wearing. Are you watching the nostalgic stuff to try to get ideas for this moveset or that moveset, or watching this promo? Is this something that I want to say or what have you?
Well, Owen, I can watch any day of the week. Him and Brett from Mania 10 is probably my number one or two out of Manias compared to Austin Brett. But I just watch wrestling and kind of nitpick and kind of see in the moment, like, what's this, or for certain spots, certain just moments in a match, key interviews. Like, I don't know. I try not to really overthink anymore, but I just try to watch matches, study, and enjoy wrestling too. And if something pops out at me that I like, I kind of make it my own in some certain way. But I've also tried to find my own moveset, where I don't think a lot of that in wrestling. I think everything's repetitive now, where you see a lot of the same things and nobody kind of makes it their thing. For certain moves, like you had your John Cena 5 moves of doom, everybody gave them for so long and hated it, but everybody knows when it's time for that comeback and you see this, the 5-knuckle shuffle, you know what's coming. It's just one of those things that gets programmed. And I think that's also missing in wrestling too, where you don't have that individuality anymore.
Yeah, it's always funny because I grew up about the same era you did watching wrestling, and it's just like everybody wanted to throw shade at Cena or any of these guys with the 5 moves of doom. But like you said, when it was going to happen, people knew it. They reacted to it, whether they're booing them or cheering them or whatever. You're getting a reaction. And it's just one of those things where you just got to, you know, you learn from the past and kind of put your own twist on things. But I want to, you know, circle back to the Monster Factory with Danny Cage, Larry Sharp. Being, you know, originally from Rutherford, New Jersey, like you mentioned, have you gone back and, you know, helped out, see what the new group of guys and gals coming out are?
Yeah, I actually did a few shows there a few months back. I couldn't make it to one of the shows. I was champion at the time, and then that was relinquished from me because I wasn't able to make the show with flight status and everything. I just a debacle of a day of flights getting there into Jersey and Philly area. And so, yeah, I have unfinished business going back up there. But anytime I'm in that area, and we'll be there in March for Impact at the old ECW arena in Philly. So I'll be making my way over there. My parents are still in South Jersey as well. So everybody's kind of in that area, and we'll probably make a visit to my parents, stop at the factory, and then just go kick ass at Impact.
Yeah, because it's always been a big fan of everything that Danny Cage has done with the Monster Factory. And you can look over my left shoulder here. You got that, you know, very familiar face, I'm sure, to you with the blue meat there. But it's just amazing how, including yourself, just the group of people that have come out of that place, whether it be like we got Riddle there in WWE, just to name one, but it's just unreal. It's a lot of people are... I always say, watch out for that Northeast independent scene, because a lot of them don't get credit all the way up to New England area.
Yeah. The whole Northeast was always big in independence for when I started off. And once I started to kind of get my name out there, when I first started in 2012, 2013, as soon as I was ready to branch out of the factory, that's when Briscoe came in for a tryout and a seminar that Danny set up. And then he told me he came in, he goes, don't go out and work anywhere else right now. It's like, keep working on the fundamentals and basics, stay in shape. I'm going to get you a tryout. I'm like, yes, sir. Why wouldn't I listen to that? I've said that in so many interviews. I've told that to so many people too. I was like, you're going to listen to Gerald Briscoe when he tells you to do that. Cause obviously he's telling you for a reason. But the Northeast has always been one of those, just that pocket of pro wrestling. And I think it's also too now, that bubble of just the independence is ready to burst again too. On how, with all the releases, obviously it sucks for it, like everybody getting let go from their dream job or wherever they were, but it's also good for everywhere else. Cause like I said, it's making people step up their games now. And I think that's the one cool thing in wrestling, is that like when you're elevating people's talent level and getting them to go out and bust their ass a little bit more, or go a little bit harder than they were previously, like it gets those opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah, because I'm a big follower of Limitless and Beyond up there in New England, and those two promotions there are just, they're running rap shot over that area, and it's just so great to see a lot of these guys that have, Anthony Green being one of them, you got JD Drake, another, that have been literally all over the world.
Even Beyond, I worked at Beyond a few times, or actually no, one time, but it was two matches when I first got let go about over a year ago. So June timeframe. And they were very good to me. Great promotion. And the crowd there is great. They love wrestling in that area.
They definitely keep up with, you know, people that have wrestled in that company, and they go elsewhere, and they always, and they, when they come back, they always get that pop. And it's another one of those areas too, is, and I don't know, obviously now with all the restrictions, it's hard to, but even going across the border up into Canada, a lot of like your C4s, up there and up in the Canada, Toronto area, it's just like, there's just so much now, and it's like, okay, hopefully it'll, a lot of these will come back. Hopefully.
Yeah. You're hoping, fingers crossed on all that. But at the same time, you just, we kind of made everybody, I think everybody's just making do and doing what they can. That's the one good thing, is like, you just, it's on to the next show and on to the next town, wherever you can work.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff that, you've taken a lot of your stuff when you've trained there with Danny into what you're doing here with Impact, just as far as, you know, character development and, just in ring work, or.
My basics pretty much is what I picked up at the factory, and then just kind of the ins and outs of behind the scenes of, just etiquette from Danny and, Bill Wiles and Blue Meanie. QT coming there for here and there, and then Damian Priest now, but Luis Martinez then. Yeah, it was just learning the basic etiquette, learning basic max structure, and just pretty much getting me ready for the fundamentals. And one of the things I got told there was, like, if you can bump and sell for somebody and make them look good, you'll have a job forever. And that was one of the things. Granted, it might have pigeonholed me a little bit in NXT for that little bit, but that was one of those things where I knew I wanted to excel in, with, by any time I'm in the ring, my two goals, I should say, is never hurt my opponent and also try to make him look the best that I can. And then vice versa, I hope, is coming back to me, and then it's good business.
Yeah. It was always a story that I heard recently from Bruce Pritchard on his podcast, is, you know, a lot of these tapes that people are sending into certain companies or whatever, you know, they're showing all the highlights of you're going over, this person going over. Well, why not show somebody that you're getting over? And you don't see that a lot. You don't see that fundamentals, where it's just like, I know a lot of moving parts nowadays, but it's just like, okay, you kind of take your time. And that's why it's like, you know, I followed your work in the Impact even too. Just that roster is so good and so deep. And you see that time that each and every one of you guys are taking to get that fundamental, to tell those stories.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing too, I tell people all the time, Impact is one of those, we have a roster right now that from top to bottom is one of the best, I think, in wrestling. I think everybody in every company says that, but for being here and from being from where I was, and granted, the locker room is great, roster is great, but like everybody that's at Impact is involved in some way. You're not just there to sit and eat catering. You're there to work, whether it be a promo or somehow you're involved into a story or doing something. And there's all different walks of life. There's no cookie cutter everywhere. Certain, like, everybody has the pecking order too. And you can tell who the guys are, obviously, by champions right now. And it's going to change again, though. But that's the one good thing, is it's always fresh. It's always something different. There's always some type of story. And if you're not in the main title story, you're in an undercard story or a mid-card story that's got people invested as well. And I think that's what draws attention to Impact Wrestling. And I feel after Hard to Kill, that's one of those things that I think Hard to Kill kind of put it on the map a little bit more. Like, Impact Wrestling isn't around to mess. They're not here to mess around. Mm-hmm. At least I know when I go out there, I'm out there to kill myself, pretty much, to just whatever I can to make the company look better and myself, ultimately, as Steve Macklin, look better.
Yeah. And that it all starts with, you know, from up above, from Scott D'Amore all the way down to the camera guy. Everybody's putting out, you know, the best product possible. And I met Scott D'Amore at get together we had for her AFS down mm-hmm. over in Chicago, and just always, even his stuff from the TNA days of Impact, just with Team Canada and just that mentality, he's just one of those guys. And I can group him in the same as like a Jeff Jarrett. It's like, hey, tell me about this or tell me about that, and just sit there and just hear the stories, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Scott's been good with me too, especially like backstage for promos, because I tend to kind of have dad voice when I talk and yell. Like, I just, for some reason, I get to get like, I don't know, when I'm fired up, I get that like higher pitch of a voice. And Scott's like, tone it down a little bit, like bring it down, kind of like Jake the Snake a little bit, and talk. And now it's like one of those things like, oh, okay, it was, I've been told that before. And it's just, you hear it from somebody else and it makes sense. And for me to have interviews with him or doing something backstage with him for promos and him actually just come and critique me, that's one of those things that I like, I appreciate more just because he has a vision on what he sees me as too, where I have my own mindset, but it's also helping and all the creative minds there with Jimmy and Robert and D'Lo and Dreamer, Gail, just everybody there. And now having Tom Hannifin there on commentary is a big thing for me just because he's one of my good friends in the business. And it's funny because I tell him he's my JR pretty much, even though we never really get one of those moments. But we had it at Hard to Kill. It was kind of fun to flip him off, kind of just say, hey. And I had a bunch of texts from the boys. So like, well, oh, way to put Tom on the map. So, but it's just good to have just those creative minds there and people that actually are invested in you and ultimately just try to get to know you too. Where if you're trying to get to know me on a personal level, it's a lot easier to understand where I'm coming from or where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm glad you saw it because that promo you did backstage last night on Impact with Uchiha, and then when Gresham came in, seeing what you did with the promos for when you first started in like, what, 6-7 months ago till now, I noticed that where you get that low Jake the Snake kind of promo, kind of don't mess with me kind of thing.
Yeah, D was like, because we were watching it back last night, she's like, I can tell you're trying not to curse. Because naturally, like, when you're angry, like, I try to treat, like, it's, I don't want to say I want to treat people like a dog, but I'm trying to, like, picture them as Honey or Fitz or Oliver, where, like, they poop on the floor or pee on the floor. Like, that's, like, one of those moments you can try to trigger your own mind of, like, you have to put yourself in that situation. And here I am, you're like, no. And it's me just trying to pretty much hold back a cuss from not swearing at somebody. And that's naturally, because naturally being a Marine and being a grunt, I was always just, the F word is always one of my adverbs, adjectives, pronouns, and one of those things that always slips out here or there. But yeah, it's just fun to, I love talking. I think I love promos, vignettes are my, like, I love wrestling, but like being able to create and just try to work on characters is one of my favorite things now too.
Yeah. Now you say you go back with Deanna a lot and watch the shows again. Is that kind of some of the things, kind of like a ritual that you guys have in your household, whether it be yourself or her watching this stuff back, whether her was, like you said before, with her match with Mickey and then yours with Trey or with Gresham. Is that something that you routinely do to kind of just keep everything fresh?
Yeah. Ultimately too, I think it's just good overall to see like what were the good and bad. Cause I'll come out of a match like, nah, I could have taken my time here. Could have done this, or maybe we could have sped this up here, or like accelerated here, not to get too in depth, but like, I like to just watch it back to just kind of not even as me, but kind of watch as a fan, like, okay, what would I like as a fan sitting in the crowd? Or I'll notice people in the crowd, what they react to, or even hearing commentary, what commentary is saying. Like, I need to know what commentary is saying as well, because they're our voice to you. I can't sit there in a wrestling hold and talk because it's boring to me, at least. If you're going to wrestle, you're going to wrestle. There's ways to talk trash and whatnot in commentary, but still is that voice that gets your character over to the television.
Yeah, I've absolutely loved the comment, especially starting at Hard to Kill with Tom coming in and even last night with Matt Raywalt.
Yeah.
I hope they keep Matt.
Also, when I got to NXT, one of those guys in 2014 that was just doing his Aiden English and over the top, I loved it. And he was one of those guys that was always good to me. And I'm glad to call him a friend in this business. And I hope they keep him there because he's very good at what he does in the ring and outside the ring.
And they're pretty goddamn stylish, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I tweeted that. I'm like, oh, one of the most stylish commentary teams in the business. But yeah, it's just... That's one of the things where even I've had people that I've talked to, whether they're past or present working in the business, said, you got to listen to this commentary whenever you're doing a match or not doing a match or whatever, because they're trying to get you, whether get you over as that heel, get you over as that face or whatever, and kind of branch off from there and kind of make your character into that.
Yeah. And that's one of the things like William Regal taught me at NXT early on, even when I was an extra for main roster, when I was going before I got signed, he will tell you, like, make sure you get your character info over to commentary so they can put you, like, you want to get your character over. You want people to know you. You want them to know your story. And you can't do that physically in a ring. Obviously, you can show your aggression, emotion, and all that you want to show, but you're not going to verbally be able to say everything about you, and that's where commentary comes in. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at your shirt again, and something just came to my mind with Owen. Did you ever see his stuff from Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because my co-host and I are, we do on the main show, he's a huge Hart fan. And he's like, we're trying to find it one time on YouTube. I forgot who it was. Was maybe Liger, maybe?
Probably.
He was facing over there in one of the junior tournaments, maybe?
The J-Cups, yeah, probably.
And I'm like, holy, it's just unreal. And I'm trying to show my son just because he just likes professional wrestling. And just, I'm like, dude, just watch this. Because he's like, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah, just think about it. I think that was, what, 90 or 91 that he was over there.
Yeah, he was way ahead of his time with a lot of things he did. And it's funny when you hear Brett just say he was more the athlete than Brett was. I don't know. I think he said that. I'm pretty sure he said that in a quote. But, like, Owen was just, I don't know. I loved – it's funny how, like – that whole WrestleMania 10 buildup and from the Rumble, the 94 to that, like, yeah. Or no, 93 Rumble into that one, just kind of how it all worked. And yeah, Survivor Series and just that whole family storyline. It was one of the first times brother versus brother. And then you felt for Owen at the end of Mania 10 when he comes out and Brett still got the moment. And it's just like, you son of a bitch. And you felt for Owen.
Oh yeah. But that's the thing. You don't see that a lot now, is just the storytellings where you get that build and build and build, and whatever company you're looking at sometimes, because you have XYZ sponsor or this person to cover. And I'm like, take your time, slow down and let's see what you got.
You also got to put into perspective too, of like the average fan nowadays, like how often they watch it or how in tuned are they to it? And that's one of those things, like everybody's at a minute to a 90 second on their phone of watching a video. Like I even catch myself. I'm like, I'll start to watch it. I'm like, nope, done. Like you have to get that attraction within that first 15, 20 seconds to somebody, I would think. Yeah, so
that's how I am with Spotify. What, before I was listening, I'm like, okay, well, Foo Fighters swap. Okay. Got that one. Okay. I got, you know, Motley Crue. I got that. I'm like, okay, just settle down.
Yeah. Like even as a kid, like if you watch Netflix and stuff now with movies, like trying to find a movie, you're just like, oh, I've seen it. But then I'll end up watching the same thing that I've watched so many millions of times. And I'm just like, ah, whatever, there's nothing on. But then there's so many movies. I would have killed for that as a kid.
Yeah. You know, another thing, we talked about Yellowstone. We talked about 1883. Did you ever check out the Heels on Stars there?
Yes. No, I thought it was really good. I started watching it before Deanna did, and then she got into it with me. Like I made her watch back the first two episodes with me, and I thought they freaking killed it. Stephen Amell, like, because he respects what wrestling is, and even funny like how it all, the wrestling world is involved in that show as well. And it's, I think the story is just cool as hell.
Mm-hmm. Now I listened to a past interview you've done before, and I think it was with CVV. And have you ever gotten anybody that actually has taken you with Stephen Amell?
No.
Because
no, but I've gotten said like, oh, you have very similarities, but nobody said like, hey, Stephen Amell. Like nobody like physically has said like that, but I've been told that I have looked like him.
Because I know just by watching your past stuff, and even now when you have the shorter hair, I'm like, kind of had to do a double take. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, okay, that's kind of close. But no, yeah, it's just one of those series, man, where, you know, you get good reaction, you get bad reaction from that type of thing. And I'm looking forward to what they got. I think they just got renewed for another season. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to the next season, just because the way they left it off on this, the first season, I thought was pretty cool. And how it made the one, I forget the girl's name, that's the one of the main actresses in the show, but she got her over too. So it's just funny to see how like everybody built, and it makes you invest.
The blonde, right?
Yeah. The blonde haired girl.
Okay. Yeah. That, I'm like, oh, well, I didn't see that coming. That's interesting.
So it's just funny to see how the world is kind of entering this show and changing the ways of everything. It's kind of cool.
You know, bring that up, and being from the from Jersey, you know, big Giants fan, I notice. And as you notice, I'm a big Bills fan. You got one of our boys over there with Joe Shane as your new GM there. And
I have a feeling we're about to get your offensive coordinator too.
That's what they're saying between with Brian Daboll, between, it was always the Giants. I was just talking to it with one of the beat writers here last night about it. And he's like, yeah, it's between the Giants and between Miami where he's going. And it's pretty much, I don't want to say a done deal that he's leaving, but, and rightfully so, he's a great coach, but it's just like, okay, I don't want to see him go. We lucked out last year with him still being here this year. So,
yeah. I would think a Buffalo guy would stick with a Buffalo guy for a GM and a coach. They've worked together, obviously, in the same office before at some point. But then Flores, I know there's – I keep reading it just to see what's going on, too. Flores is out there, too, and he's another coach. I'm surprised Miami let him go.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did. Obviously, they had some stuff in the office behind the scenes that we don't know about, but I thought he was doing a hell of a job with Miami. They're a very young team. And that AFC East is getting ready to build up for a good run for all four teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I finally got back my voice the last couple of days from watching the Bills and the Chiefs game on
I was pulling for Sunday your Bills, night. Man.
Yeah. It was tough, man. I'm used to it by now. I'm used to it. I've been a Bills fan for over 30 years since I've been born, and it's just like I'm used to it by now. It's sad to say, but it's like, oh.
Yeah. It was a good game. That was a really good game, though. Yeah. So that's one of those things. That whole weekend, I want to say, all the games were just – like even the Cincinnati and Titans, like I was surprised.
Yeah.
So that was one of those ones. But I was pulling for Cincinnati too because Burrow is just – I'm watching him. I'm like, yep, I like seeing him. And then Derrick Henry on friggin' Tennessee. I'm like, it could go either way.
Yeah.
But I thought the playoffs have been good so far.
Yeah, and it's just – another good week coming up or another good weekend coming up this weekend with the title game. I'm like, oh man, I've always taken the next 2 days off after the Super Bowl. Cause I'm always, if I do it, maybe it's going to will the Bills into the Super Bowl so I can actually see it. Cause I grew up, you know, I'm 37. I grew up watching the Super Bowl years. I remember them. I remember all the good years, but you know, I remember the bad years too, but it's like, and, oh yeah, trying to teach my son. I'm like, hey, he's a big Bills fan. We're screaming, we're running around downstairs, and when they're scoring, I'm like, oh. He's like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, there's still 13 seconds left, and I'm like, oh, just add it to that checklist of, you know, stuff that Bills fans are gonna be made fun of for the next until they win one, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm lucky I got to see the Giants beat the Patriots twice, but then because I thought it was gonna be it in 2000 when the Giants played the Ravens. I remember watching the NFC title game against the Vikings that year. And they blew them out. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be easy in the Super Bowl. It's because it's Baltimore. But then Baltimore had one of the best defenses ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Trent Dilfer as the freaking quarterback, which still that he has a Super Bowl blows my mind. But just I thought that was going to be it because that team was money in 2000 for the Giants.
Yeah. Well, you can even go back to that first Super Bowl or the wide right game with the Giants and the Bills. It's like you know, Jeff Hassettler in there. It's like, you're so used to seeing a Phil Sims and whatnot in there. He was hurt, but it's like Jeff Hassettler has a Super Bowl. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh, okay. And I'm like, I still remember this day. That was 90. I was 6 years old. And I still remember I stayed up. My parents let me stay up for it. And the same thing happened when the Bills lost last week with my son started bawling because he was upset that they lost. Same thing happened to me when they lost the Super Bowl when I was six. It's like, you get so invested into it, just a little pro wrestling. You get invested in these characters, these teams. It's like when something bad happens, it's like, okay, well, next.
Yeah, I wish Gardner Minshew was like the best quarterback in the league because I love all the stuff he does outside of the like behind the scenes. Him showing up in Philly, like he's a perfect fit in Philly, like for a character. It's just funny to see like how much pro wrestling incorporates itself into everything in life, and it's just funny how it all kind of meshes together. But how about you got Nick Foles as a champion?
Yeah.
And beat Tom Brady. And then where's he right now? Like, so it's one of those things that it's funny in football how that all kind of works out.
Yeah. The fruit that Super Bowl there that you guys beat was it when New England was undefeated coming in?
07.
Yeah.
I was in boot camp.
Yeah. Was I in school? I just graduated from college. And I'm like, I always play those super, everybody does. You do the squares, you do this. I actually did a side bet and actually bet that just straight up that the Giants would win. And I made like a couple $100. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I got a feeling about Manning. I got a feeling about this team. I've always been a big fan of Michael Strahan, his whole career.
Well, that D-line that year, because you had Strahan, you had Pierre Paul, you had OC still.
Yeah.
And that rush was just, that D-line was perfect that year. And then even Antonio Pierce was still there too as our middle linebacker. So I was like, now it's like funny as a Giants fan, like how I kind of watch over the years. We haven't had really a middle linebacker since Pierce. And now we have Blake Martinez. And then he also might be up in the air of not being on the team next year. So me, I love watching him the past 2 years. Yeah, I know he got hurt this past season, but he's like watching – I watch football to watch certain positions because I played middle linebacker and I always loved to watch that. And I was a huge Brian Urlacher fan and Ray Lewis fan growing up. And yeah, it's just, it's crazy to see.
So I've asked everybody that has been Bills or football fans. And I'm not saying this because I'm a Bills fan, but I'm saying in general, because it's hurt a lot of teams, is the overtime rule. A lot of people, it's either on one side or on the other. I don't think that they should really go back to, you know, go to the college rule where everybody gets a shot. But my thought process, okay, let's just do a 10-minute quarter. Whoever's winning at the end of that wins. Have you, you know, given any thought? Obviously, you've seen a lot of this stuff over the last couple of years with the game.
I would think for regular, like, regular season, if it's, I think it goes to the time limit. If whoever's, obviously, if the time limit's there and they're tied still, it's a tie. Whoever's winning obviously wins. But I would think the second, and playoffs to me, I think it should just be one team goes down, they kick a field goal. All right, the team gets a shot, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown as well. Just because it just, it gives the opportunity on both sides, and it also puts over the defense again as well. And, like, let's see really how good this team is. We actually had this conversation, D and I, about it. She's like, well, what if the defense, they have to play the next week? I'm like, I don't care. I was like, they do it in baseball.
Right.
Like, they're professional. Right. Like, we're professional. They're professional athletes getting paid millions of dollars. I don't think they're going to care if they're playing more downs. Right. Like, I'm sure there's some incentive bonuses if they're winning a game or doing something in overtime in the playoffs. So I know there are playoff bonuses there from talking to some players that have been there.
Right. Yeah. Cause I saw the, when Chris Carter was on NFL Network, Good Morning Football, I think it was this earlier in the week or last week. And he's like, oh, they just played four knockout quarters or spent. I'm like, I get that. But it's just like, you guys have trained similar to pro wrestling. You've trained for this your whole life.
You're playing to go to the Super
Bowl. Right. You know, it's like to me,
granted, I'm also a guy just sitting on the couch that doesn't play football. So does it really matter what I have to say? No. Right. But would I like to see it as a fan of the game? Yeah, I would love to see the team. Like, I would have loved to have seen friggin' Josh Allen try to march downfield. Mm-hmm. And if they did tie it up with another touchdown, then okay, cool. Here we go again. Let's see if and if it goes back and forth, to me, that would be kind of cool. And then maybe if it goes to that time limit draw, it goes into that college football rule where you go from the 25-yard line and you have three down, no first downs or anything. You're going 25 yards.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Even if you want to do like from the certain yard line, put them from the 45, put them from midfield and have them go, you know what I mean? You can even do that. There's a lot of possibilities out there, and I'm sure we'll see some sort of revisement going into next year, but it's just like, oh, it's a long wait. And, you know, I think if we're waiting for the baseball season to start, we may be waiting a little while, you know?
Yeah. Baseball's coming up too. Pitchers and catchers soon.
Yeah, because I think they're still – are they – because I haven't seen anything online as far as what
– break?
Any break or what – spring break or spring training or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. The Yankees, I'm sure, will go out and buy somebody, and then they'll flop again. So –
I've been there since day one, man. I've been there when they were 96, when they were nobody. Now they're – like, I always get people saying, oh, they buy everything. I said – okay, wouldn't you, if you had the opportunity, wouldn't you want to do it too? I'm like, if you had the opportunity to buy this guy or buy that guy to win, then everybody has it.
I remember when they got the A-Rod, it kind of brought my Yankee fan kind of down a little. I was never a fan of A-Rod, and not because I was a Jeter guy.
Yeah, me too.
And so it's one of those things, I'm like, God, he didn't need him. He just went to get him to get him.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do?
No, not a whole hell
of a lot. Even when they got rid of Soriano, I remember when they got rid of Soriano too at one point. And I was like, I love Soriano at second base.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then he made another career with, he went to Chicago, I think, but.
Yeah.
Lastly, I appreciate you making time. Obviously, you're a busy guy. You do doing a lot of good work out there, like I said before, with Impact. And I'm looking forward to what you guys got coming up. And obviously watching this match you got coming up with Gresham coming up
next week. And then we also have No Surrender in February 19th and 20th. We have No Surrender. We have the tapings out in New Orleans too. So I'm looking forward to that. No Surrender is going to be it's on Impact Plus. I'm looking forward to that because it's going to be a card. You would think it wouldn't be on an Impact Plus card, but it's Impact's kind of, like I said, hard to kill, put everybody kind of on that mat now for Impact's a player right now.
Because it's Impact Plus and Fight, right? Or is it just solely, right?
I want to say it's Impact Plus. Okay. Fight usually has all the like any of the pay-per-views. I know Rebellion will be on Fight TV.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
I may be wrong. I don't know, but maybe, I don't know. Either way, it'll get advertised, but I'm pretty sure it's Impact Plus only.
Right. Lastly, just plug, obviously we plug the events coming up, plug, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees merchandise store and ways people can follow you.
Yeah, if you want to follow me at Steve Macklin on Twitter and Instagram, and then Pro Wrestling Tees, Steve Macklin store, Shop Impact, Steve Macklin. And yeah, just give me a follow, guys. You're going to see mostly just the dogs and either what kind of random beers I'm drinking or what I'm cooking. And other than that, if it wasn't for wrestling, I wouldn't have social media. But yeah.
There you go, man.
Appreciate you having me on.